Guys, it's finally happening. Sports are back. 2020, I knew you had it in you. Sure, games will look different, but one thing remains the same. Hooters for your game day grub. That's right, no waiting in lines for cold hot dogs or warm beer. This season, watch the action from your couch with Hooters nearly world-famous wings or not-so-famous but still delicious salads and sandwiches. And don't forget the fries. Come on, give your crew the food they want. Visit order.hooters.com for pickup or delivery. Hooters, the original wing joint since 1983.
This is the Top Right Fantasy Football Podcast that is presented by Hooters. Hooters encourages you to consider Hooters takeout for your football watching all weekend and all season long. Thanks to Hooters for presenting sponsorship of season 5 of the Top Right Fantasy Football Podcast. Also, a shout out to one of my fantasy podcast owners again this year. That is Sean Sullivan, the general manager of Bill Curry Ford. Since Hooters chose to not host fantasy draft parties this year, and we, of course, fell in line with that, Sean Sullivan volunteered the Bill Curry Ford showroom after the dealership had closed to host one league's fantasy draft and surprised us all by announcing at that draft, he actually allowed me to announce it, that the winner would receive a $1,000 check from Bill Curry Ford. That goes to the champion of the podcast league this year. It's Win Bill Curry's Money, thanks to Sean Sullivan and Bill Curry Ford. My email is toprightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. I will give you the week 3 keyword in a few minutes or so. I've already given it out one time prior on this week's Fantasy Football Podcast. And after answering all emails for 3+ years at toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com, taking my time, I'm simply asking fantasy owners to give of their time and listen to the podcast. The podcast is free. I'm just asking for a little of your time in return for my time that I've given for 3+ years going forward. We'll change the keyword each week. It'll be the same keyword on the Top Right Fantasy Football Podcast and on the spinoff, the Top Right Fantasy Football Podcast Bucks Bulletin, which is a fantasy exclusive preview of the Bucks and their opponent each week, sponsored by Brandon Legal Group. If you're not familiar, they are separate podcasts. So if you subscribe to one, you don't automatically get them both. They are separate podcasts, which is why in this podcast, I will not preview or give a thought on the Bucks game against the Broncos. I've already done that if you simply listen to the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast Bucks Bulletin. You can get the same keyword there, and you must include that keyword each week in the subject line or up top in your email. That just lets me know you're listening to the podcast, and I will respond with answers to your fantasy questions. Just get all your fantasy questions in by Saturday night before you go to bed. I have to run leagues, run golf tournaments, and various other things. I'm a single male. I often have company on Sundays, trending toward the evenings. Nobody watches the Cowboys game with me. That's not what I want. But I have things to do on Sunday. So get me all your fantasy questions in by Saturday night, and I'll get them answered before I go to bed. But include the keyword spike for this week 3 at toprightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. I'll give you the keyword coming up in just a little bit. If you don't already have it, the thing I appreciate is so many of you already listen to the podcast and you're saying, well, why are you doing this now? We've been here all along. I know. I'm trying to create some more company for you. I think that's fair after doing this for free for 3+ years. All right, let me run through Sunday and Monday games, with the exception of Bucks-Broncos that I've already done on the Bucks Bulletin, and just look at the matchup and give you a quick fantasy thought, or as quick as I can do it, trying to keep the podcast a little bit shorter in length because your time is as valuable as mine. Las Vegas at New England. Let's see what Julian Edelman has for an encore and N'Keal Harry. Edelman busted out for one of his best career games in week 2 We saw him make downfield catches, and Harry was very involved in the passing game as well. None of us really knew what to expect with Cam Newton in Josh McDaniels' offense playing for Bill Belichick. The first 2 weeks has been interesting, but it's been good. They're the most impressive 1-1 team out there, in my opinion. But let's keep an eye on, I would imagine, pass-catching options, and most Patriots were devalued overall with Brady being gone. Even Cam Newton wasn't drafted to be a starting quarterback in fantasy. We're reevaluating that now on the fly. Now, I drafted Edelman to be a wide receiver 3, played him week 1, sat him week 2. That was my mistake. Rams at Bills. Couple of quarterbacks here that have been doing some really good things. In a key year for Jared Goff with an insane cap number next year, he better play well. The volume to Woods and Kupp is down, but it's only 2 games. They basically rotated through 3 running backs. Henderson was a hot waiver claim this week. Even I claimed him in one of my leagues. And Higby has picked up where he left off. On the Bills side of things, Diggs is either number 1 or number 2 in the NFL in receiving yards. And Josh Allen has improved across the board in some key categories and is giving you those fantasy numbers you want with legs as much as his arms. Something I talked about the previous week, earlier this week on the podcast, was how the top 5 fantasy producing quarterbacks have produced nearly as many rushing touchdowns as the top 5 fantasy running backs. It's interesting. And Allen is part of that. Texans at Steelers. This has nothing to do with fantasy, but I'll just ask, if you were to choose 1 Watt in an expansion draft right now, which Watt do you want? A case could be made for TJ at this point. Beyond that, we're still looking for someone to give Deshaun Watson some help. David Johnson hasn't been bad. Will Fuller disappeared, as is Will Fuller's reputation. The minute you need something out of him and say, okay, his injury problems are behind him, he's being stretched out on the sideline, and he throws a goose egg, and he's not even on the injury report this week. From the Steelers' standpoint, Juju Smith-Schuster is raising questions, especially with the production of Deontay Johnson and other targets in the Steeler passing game. Niners at Giants. Ugh. Oh, this game's brutal. Let's see. No Jimmy G. No Debo. Probably no Kittle. No Mostert. No Saquon. I guess the only thing I'm looking for in this game is to see if Slayton can show last week was an aberration. Going into last week, Slayton actually led all wide receivers in touchdowns since week 5 of last year, and almost not only didn't score, but barely produced anything from the Giants' standpoint. And the Niners using the turf as an excuse is just that. Turf checked out fine, according to the NFL. Titans at Vikings. I was joking with a friend of mine, by the way. I'm recording this late in the Thursday night game. The Thursday night game for seemingly the last century, a Thursday night game only on NFL Network, has been Titans and Jaguars because of the limited market. Because the Titans, thanks to Derrick Henry, are good, they're out of that game now. And it's Dolphins at Jaguars on a Thursday night, only to an NFL Network audience. Get it over with, because every NFL team has to have a primetime game. 1. Titans at Minnesota. Minnesota, I mean, look, there are worse teams than Minnesota, but the Vikings are a bad 0-2. And they're better than this. But their pass defense has been bad. Adam Thielen had a bad week too. Do they miss Stefanski that much? I mean, they extended Kirk Cousins. What's really going on here? From the Titans standpoint, I'm a Derrick Henry owner in multiple leagues. Sure, I'm frustrated he hasn't scored. But no player who doesn't play quarterback has touched the ball more than Derrick Henry through 2 weeks. Washington FT at Cleveland. Nick Chubb owners, you want to sell now? I'll take him. I think you'd be making a big mistake. And as far as Washington FT is concerned, look, the best thing about Washington FT has nothing to do with fantasy. It's a very high-quality defensive line. It's very good. And maybe that's why Chubb owners are scared this week. And it's like, well, you know, maybe I need to make a move here before Kareem Hunt just takes over. So it is a matchup you want to be concerned with until further notice with your fantasy offensive players against running backs against the Washington front, or if you have a quarterback behind a bad offensive line. That said, the only thing Washington FT really has going for them from a fantasy standpoint is the projection that Gibson is worth rostering at running back and McLaurin's yard after catch if you need him as a wide receiver two or as a wide receiver three or flex. Bengals at Eagles. Another bad game. If the Bengals don't get Carson Wentz going, Philly, you have a problem. A lot of questions about the Eagles. Now, Miles Sanders looked fine in week two after not playing week one. The best thing they have in the passing game is Dallas Goedert. Even though Zach Ertz is running more routes, I refuse to believe that Zach Ertz is letting the lack of a contract extension affect his play. He's not that type of a player. Some people did draft Wentz to be a QB1. If he doesn't play better than Joe Burrow in this game, you might be putting in your backup starting next week or looking for someone else, because it's not like Wentz is giving you anything on the ground. And more fantasy quarterbacks do that are putting up the big points. From the Bengals standpoint, A.J. Green looked awful last week. Awful. We're watching to see if that's a trend. He just hasn't played a lot of football the last 2+ years. Kind of like Gronk. Bears at Falcons. Yeah. Where do I go here? Ridley 4 touchdowns. Okay. He's done it the first 2 games. I needed to see more to see Ridley prove it. I still need to see more. I do. Gage is getting numbers. Julio Jones, bad hamstring, could have affected one of his drops in a regrettable game, the latest regrettable game in Atlanta pro sports history. I've often said the Falcons are essentially just a fantasy football team. Matt Ryan's numbers are good. Todd Gurley's numbers are not bad. I know it's only 2 weeks, but the touches are there. He's involved. Russell Gage was claimed on waivers by a number of people for week two. Let's see. Jets and Colts. Not a lot to get excited about here, other than if you drafted Jonathan Taylor and feel he's already an RB1. I think you're getting ahead of yourself a little bit, but he's a good player. He's being featured. Paris Campbell's now out. Let's see what Michael Pittman has with getting more reps in the Indy offense. And from the Jets standpoint, got nothing for you. Carolina at the LA Chargers. By now you know why the Chargers went with Herbert over Tyrod last week. Neither of those are a fantasy play. I talked earlier this week about how through 2 weeks, Kelly has touched the ball more than Eckler. Getting Keenan Allen more involved would please his fantasy owners. And from Carolina's standpoint, Mike Davis jumps in for Run CMC. I'd temper expectations there. Probably you'll get more out of Mike Davis catching balls than you will running it. The ratio of DJ Moore targets and touches compared to Robbie Anderson continues to be worth monitoring, considering DJ Moore was drafted likely to be a wide receiver too. Robbie Anderson was drafted to be your wide receiver, was drafted for wide receiver depth or not drafted at all. And through the first 2 weeks, they're almost dead even. Lions at Arizona. I'm guessing Galladay is back here. From the Arizona standpoint, Hopkins is being targeted and featured as much or more than any other receiver in the NFL right now. And if you were fortunate to draft Kyler Murray as a backup, you might be thinking of starting him, especially against the Lions defense and going forward. He's one of the four or five most productive fantasy quarterbacks, and Hopkins just stretching the field is going to open things up for Murray to score some touchdowns and get rushing yardage. Dallas at Seattle, highest total of the week in Vegas. Not telling you anything you don't know. There are plenty of starters in this game. Let's just run them down. Wilson, Metcalf, Lockett. He beat me last week with that touchdown. Prescott, four touchdown game. Zeke. Amari Cooper's numbers are fine. CeeDee Lamb getting close to being a flex play. Not quite a wide receiver too, but getting close to being a flex play. Chris Carson continues to seed carries to other running backs. The other running backs aren't worth playing, but you Chris Carson owners are understandably a little nervous. Maybe this actually keeps Carson healthy the whole year, but I always say pitch counts only work in baseball. Green Bay at New Orleans. Doesn't look like Devontae Adams is going to go. I own Marquez Valdez-Scantling. I don't even know if I'm going to play him. It's just, there's such a drop-off after Devontae Adams. It's why Aaron Rodgers was sitting there on draft night and was expecting the Packers. You know, there were all these wide receivers in the draft, right? Ruggs, Judy, Lamb, and the list goes on. And I'm sure he's sitting there saying, okay, get me one of those. And they take his replacement. Rodgers is a dick, but no wonder he's fucking pissed off. Because now what does he do? Well, he does hand the ball to Aaron Jones, who, you know, I've been saying for 3.5 years, Derrick Henry was the most underutilized running back in the NFL or underappreciated in fantasy because he was underutilized. Aaron Jones is kind of in that position now. He is undervalued, and if you own him, good for you. From the New Orleans standpoint, you know, it's similar, the drop-off after Michael Thomas in New Orleans, as is the drop-off after Devontae Adams in Green Bay. It actually meant more for Kamara. Kamara had a good-looking game. That's the best-looking game Kamara's had in a while. So, I'm not sure Green Bay can slow Kamara out of the backfield when he's utilized like that. Finally, the Monday night game, Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. Not bad. This keeps hovering around a 3-point game. The theory was actually floated on RotoWorld this week that this is good if you own Ravens players, that they have a tough team to play, rather than just killing time in the fourth quarter and making the clock run. You'll get a full complement of 60 minutes out of some really productive players on the Ravens side. Lamar Jackson, Andrews, Hollywood Brown, maybe some more Mark Ingram. Worry there, he's being shuffled out. Doesn't look like the same role as the beginning of last year. Mahomes got it going in the second half last week against the Chargers, and the Chargers have some really good defensive personnel and are coached up well defensively. But he got going with Tyreek Hill. That's a good sign. Not as good of a game for Edwards-Helaire, but the workload was there. And still, I think you're taking a risk beyond the obvious Chiefs anytime you throw someone else out there, because Watkins gets hurt so much. Hardman just doesn't seem to get enough time in the offense, doesn't get featured, and Robinson's hands are so bad. So you just sort of stick with Kelce, Hill, Mahomes, and Edwards-Helaire. Again, my email is toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. The keyword is spike. Sorry about that. The keyword is spike. Include the word spike in your subject line or early in your email if you want to ask questions, or just you're asking me a second opinion. I'm not picking your starters, but if you want to ask me a second opinion on a lineup decision, or is someone worth cutting in favor of this guy, and tell me what you're thinking, I'll give you a second opinion. Maybe you've gotten a not so ridiculous trade offer already and you're considering it. I'll give you a second opinion. That's what I'm here for. Spike is the key word this week. Put spike in the subject line or early in the email, and write me at toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. Good luck this weekend, and we'll talk again in week 4.